This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you very much. Hello everyone, this is the Implementation Oversight Task Force IOTF call number 11 on June 9th, 2016. I guess the breaking news of the day is that NTIA just released its report. Yuko circulated a link to the NTIA report just a few minutes before the call. So congratulations to everyone on that. That's a big milestone there. I know that several people have sent in apologies for today's call. I think Avi just also sent in an apology. But it looks like we still have a good group in the Adobe that's joining the call today. So welcome everyone. On the agenda today, we have prepared for you a couple of items for discussion. One of the main items is the PTI bylaws and articles of incorporation and this, the drafted responses to SITLE's questions. And then the second item is a document that we circulated just maybe an hour or so ago, which has the proposed work plan for how to finalize the, all of the PTI-related documents that we'd like to discuss with you today. Again, it's a document for discussion with the group. And then under any other business, we have a few items that we wanted to cover with you today. The first item is the ICANN 56 Helsinki Implementation Planning Update session. And the second item under any other business would be the IOTF call number 13, which is scheduled to take place during the week of June 20th. And we understand that some people may be traveling that week, so we wanted to discuss with you scheduling for that call. And then the third item under any other business would be the decision log, which is a document that we actually have started at the very beginning of the IOTF discussions, which logs all of the discussions and decisions agreed to within the IOTF. We've changed the format of that a little bit and wanting to show that to you and also perhaps make it a standard practice to review that document so that we're all on the same page and are aligned of the various activities that are taking place within the IOTF. So those are the items that that we have prepared for this call today. And thank you, Jonathan. I see that you've put in the chat room that you'll be speaking to the PTI bylaws and articles of incorporation's responses. Thank you for that. So let me take a pause here and see if there are any comments or suggestions for any additional agenda items. Okay, very well. So let's go ahead and get started. Jonathan, did you want to wait for Lisa to join before we go into the PTI bylaws and articles of incorporation responses, or would you like to start with that? I know that's the most important item on the agenda today.
Shang, that's a difficult one. I have been through them all with Lisa. If we can cover anything off from a sort of administrative or other point of view before she joins, it may be more complete to wait for her, but we don't necessarily have to. She let me know she'd be about 5 minutes late, so I'm not expecting we have a long wait for her.
Okay, very good. Maybe we can cover some of the AOB items because those should be fairly quick for us to move through. So if there's no objections, let's jump to the AOB section for now. So let's discuss the ICANN 56 Helsinki Implementation Planning Status Update session. So there was a request from this group to hold an implementation update session in Helsinki, and there seems to be support for that. We understand that from a process perspective, scheduling of the session has to go through, one of the SOs or ACs. It looks like there may be some difficulties in scheduling sessions after 3 p.m. where the cross-community activities are supposed to take place, and as we noted, the calendar is quite full before 3 p.m. So it looks to us like the only potentially open slot that would not conflict with anything else would be a lunch type of session. So we wanted to discuss with this group and get finalization around that so that we could, move forward with getting the session scheduled. And then the other consideration is also the fact that we need to understand better who from DIOTF would be attending Helsinki and would be, sort of be on the panel to present. Jonathan, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Trang. I think it would be helpful to understand if you have already a view on the format. It would be good to understand what kind of format it would be. And second, if you could just clarify what you mean by a lunch meeting. I assume it's just simply holding a meeting during the time that was sort of set aside for lunch. And then I know Lisa and myself will both be there, so subject to there not being any other clashes, I expect we will both be available, and that doesn't preclude others from the IOTF participating either from the floor or on the panel, but to my knowledge, we should both be available to participate there. Thanks.
Thank you, Jonathan, and I see that Lisa is also on the phone, so I would invite Lisa to also speak up if she has in mind any sort of a format when the proposal to have a session was made. In terms of format, I guess it would be sort of a panel providing an update type of format. I hadn't had in mind any, anything, too fancy or different from that. I envision it just being a sort of a status update type of thing. But if there are other thoughts in terms of how we should structure that session, of course, that will be very welcome. And to answer your other question, Jonathan, yes, I think what I had in mind was that the session would just simply be scheduled during the lunch hour.
Trang, this is Lisa. Sorry to join late, and I'm not really in the Adobe room in a good way because I have it on my phone, and so I'm mostly only on audio and sitting in a place outside the Eurodic premises. Sorry, but I actually think it would be great if we had a Q&A session with people, because I think a lot of what's going on with the implementation is creating a lot of questions that we maybe should answer to whoever is there. And I think the implementation itself are quite complex, and it would maybe be a good idea to actually be ready to answer questions if there are any. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Jonathan, please go ahead. Jonathan? There may be some audio issues. Looks like, does that mean that Jonathan is speaking?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jonathan, it looks like you're speaking, but we're unable to hear. I don't know if we can address Jonathan's audio issue. But Lisa, Jonathan has typed in the chat, which I know you may not be able to see, that a status update plus Q&A seems to make sense. So I think he's agreeing with you that a Q&A would be very helpful. And it seems that we no longer have audio with Jonathan, or that's a mute sign. So in terms of next steps on this, and let's see if Jonathan has any other comments to make on the topic, but it sounds to me like perhaps we could propose a session to take place during the lunch hour so as to not conflict with any other work. And the format could be potentially a very short status update and providing the majority of the time for Q&A. And then the last item is to get a sense from this group as to who would like to be on the panel, to provide the update and or to answer the questions. Okay, it seems like we're having some audio issues with Jonathan, so let's see if we can get that addressed. So if we can capture in the action items as it relates to the ICANN Helsinki implementation planning status update, those three items, that would be great. And again, the three items would be to go ahead and identify a time slot, during the lunch hour for the session. Structure the session as a short update with the majority of the time for Q&A, and then the third item would be to get confirmation from the IOTF as to who would be on the panel.
Trang, sorry to interrupt again, as I can't really put my arm up in the room. I actually think we should not give a very thorough but not a too quick introduction of the implementation, because some of the issues might be necessary to actually explain in some depth, and I'm thinking of this content of the PTI staff or the IANA staff to PTI, where I know there are a lot of questions and issues related to this. So I think maybe a third and two-thirds to questions would be helpful, but not to go too lightly on the explanations. So, thank you.
Sure, noted. Thank you very much, Lisa. We'll make a note of that. And I see that Alan has put in the chat room that some of us already have lunchtime meetings. And then Chuck also said that he has a lunch conflict on Tuesdays and Wednesdays that will affect the RYSG and IPC and others. So maybe what we could do is see if we can try to identify the time slot with the least conflict. And Donna is also typing, so let's give it a minute to see. So it seems that scheduling is going to be somewhat problematic here, even if we try to schedule something over the lunch hour. Yes, and Donna advises that it's going to be difficult to get a non-conflicted time slot, so just pick a time and run with it. Yes, I think that's what we'll try to do. I think maybe we can start a doodle poll and see which of the lunchtime time slot would be least conflicted, and then we'll go ahead and schedule it. All right, so let's move on. Jonathan and Lisa, would now be a good time to jump over to the discussion on the PTI bylaws and articles of incorporation's responses to Sidley's questions.
Fine for me.
Okay, Jonathan,
fine,
please go ahead.
It's okay with me.
Okay. So do we have?
Just to say it's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Do we have that document that we can load? Thank you. So we're loading the document that Grace had provided with your draft answers into the Adobe Connect room. So how would this work, Yuko? Would you need to scroll, or can we really scroll control to?
This is sharing my screen,
okay.
So I would have to control it.
Okay. So Jonathan and Lisa, as you move through the document, please just let us know where you are, and then we'll scroll through the document for you. And Grace mentioned in the Adobe Connect room that she can make live edits to the Google document if needed. Okay, so I will turn it over to you, Jonathan and Lisa.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Trang. It's a little small in the screen. We're seeing just a shared screen within this, within the real estate at the moment. It'd be good to get it shared at full size. I don't know if that's because it's set in the live edit mode or... Okay, well, we can work with it like that. I mean, it's readable to me. Could others let me know if it's not readable? Not sure what the best way to do this is. It may be best to just walk through it and maybe perhaps do a little bit of rationalization as to thinking behind the points, and then others can come in and argue if they feel things, or the answers are incomplete or unsatisfactory. So there are a set of qualifications required set out in 5.2.3 of the document. But not all of them. Some of those were inserted at the drafting stage rather than directly from the document. And so in reviewing these, those criteria seemed to me, myself and Lisa, to be acceptable, and that no additional qualifications are required, save for the fact that, as highlighted by Sidley, there needs to be some position to deal with diversity. And the one point there where it says possibly applied separately to ICANN and NOMCOM appointees, one concern was if we applied a uniform diversity criteria to the board, we might find that we preclude certain well-qualified candidates from the NOMCOM appointees. So perhaps to view them as two different subsets of appointees. In other words, you might apply the criteria to the three ICANN appointees and to the NOMCOM appointees separately rather than collectively as a whole board. So that's something to think about. Any comments or points on that one relating to Section 5.2.3? Any concerns, issues, or otherwise?
So I just have a very small point, and that is I appreciate the desire to try and have as broad a view as possible, but is there built into the process, and I apologize, I'm not up to speed, the customers? PTI is very much a customer-focused operation, or should be a customer-focused operation. Is weight given to make sure that the customers are those that are on the PTI board, or representatives from the customers are on the PTI board?
Well, I just copied the qualifications into the left hand, into the chat, and essentially it goes on about person's various skills. But if you look at 5.2.3.4, it says persons who in aggregate have personal familiarity with the operation of generic top-level domain registries and registrars, with country code top-level domain registries, with IP rich. So there are a bunch of qualifications in there that set out, that were added in addition, in fact, to what was provided in the CWG final proposal, and that's really what I think we were saying were acceptable. Okay, good. So you see that now, and that's probably helpful. Hey, Grace, I think we're relying on you to scroll, so if you can bring us to 5.3.3 then, please. And so here we talk about a set of additional qualifications, which again seemed to myself and Lisa to be reasonable. And specifically, Sidley had made the point that if these additional qualifications potentially precluded the interim directors, it's possible that an accommodation could be made to have to accommodate the proposed interim directors, Lisa and myself. However, it did not appear to me that on review, and I think the same tip for Lisa, it did not appear that these precluded us. So we've just put these are acceptable, and they do not seem to preclude the proposed interim directors. That should be confirmed, and that no additional qualifications appeared to be necessary. I suppose thanks, Chuck. It would be very helpful if you did bring up your comments. And I was just recognizing that perhaps I went a little bit too fast over that previous one. When we go back to the prior one, please, Grace. It does say additional language needs to be inserted to include appropriate diversity of criteria possibly applied separately to ICANN and NOMCOM appointees. So I didn't get any pushback on that, but I just want to make sure that if we put in diversity criteria, it would likely derive from something similar to that applied to ICANN board appointees or similar. So we just need to think carefully about what that might be, because there's a fine line ensuring we get the appropriate diversity and not being so stringent with that we potentially preclude well-qualified candidates. So that will need some care. Paul, I'm going to pass over you, assuming it's an old hand, and I'm going to go to Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. Remember, we only have 5 people on this board. There's only so much level of diversity, and we're always going to miss some kind of diversity from someone's perspective. So let's make sure not to put words in that are too stringent and make sure that we're always in violation of them. Thank you.
Well, I think that in a sense reflects my concern. We need to, so the question is, do we put those in as diversity guidelines rather than rules? It may be that there may be some way of managing that.
Jonathan, this is Lisa. Sorry, I still can't see anything in the room, but I think it's good to have diversity demands, but it doesn't need to be an actual demand. It can be something that there should be awareness about it. And I think it's important to keep this principle, but not have it as an ultimatum for this board. Thank you.
Okay, so I hear from Alan, from yourself, Lisa, from Chuck, something quite similar, which seems to be suggesting that we have nobody's saying we should not have the diversity criteria in there, but they should not perhaps be expressed as hard criteria and rather as something like guidelines. Alan, did you?
Yeah, it's Alan. I think we would need to be there, something like that the selectors, be it the NOMCOM or the other entities that select, need to consider diversity in addition to the other criteria. Anything stronger than that, someone's going to file an objection.
Thanks, Alan. That's helpful. We've lost the document being shared. Just wondering what's happening there.
Sorry, it's just my Adobe Connect froze, so it's up on the screen now again.
Thanks, Yuko. Okay, I'm just wondering about the value of the live edits versus just noting the changes. We can try with the live edits. Okay, go ahead, Paul.
So I'm going to be very brief. One thing that this process has taught me is people are very willing to put that up initially, but don't do the heavy lifting throughout the duration of the process. And I don't have a strong view with respect to whether or not there is diversity or not, but the emphasis needs to be a willingness to commit, to be of appropriate skills, but also to commit time necessary to fulfill the role that the community is asking of them. And all the people that have been on this call or are on this call now have done a stellar job, but we're talking about people outside of this particular community potentially coming in. So we need to be very careful. If we go for diversity in terms of geographical diversity, which is an admirable quality, there are we may not get the commitment that is required. But I'm very much in favor of making sure it's a guideline rather than a specific criteria. But also, one needs to emphasize that this is real work, which requires real dedication and time to be attributed to it. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Paul. We can take those comments on board as we, I mean, it's consistent with what's been said before, and we can take that as we perhaps do a further refinement of this based on the input of this call. Let's keep things moving. I'm a little conscious of time. And so, highlight for you. So I think we can go past. I just want to make sure we came back and had covered that properly. And Alan, Grace, you'll note that Alan referred to appropriate consideration rather than guidelines. Okay, so we seem to have some support for using appropriate diversity considerations. All right, Grace, if we could move then, I think we don't need to do anything more on 5.3.3. Do pull me back, anyone, if not. And I encourage you to have adjacent to the screen that you have in front of you, if you possibly can, if you'd be able to flip to the actual draft bylaws from Sidley that Grace put. I know you, Grace, put a link previously to this document, but if you have a copy of the guidelines that have been shared with the group, I think that's quite a useful area. So here under section 5.4, we deal with the possibility of a chairperson, how they're elected by the board, and whether or not it's the president, and assuming that that president is a PTI manager, and who may serve as a chairperson, and that Section 7.6 currently provides that if there is no chairperson, the president will act as a chairperson. You see down the right-hand side a set of four points that Lisa and I had discussed, and I note that Chuck has his hand up, and so I'll defer to you, Chuck, although your comment is visible there now, thanks to Grace sharing it.
Okay, good, thanks. This is Chuck. So, as you can, if you can see my comment, some people's screens may be too small, so it may be hard, but I agree that with you that the chairperson shouldn't be the PTI manager. That's my own personal opinion on that, but I don't think we ought to be so restrictive to say that it should be one of the NOMCOM appointees. If one of them is the best qualified to do the job and can do it, great. But if they're not and there's a better qualified person other than the PTI manager, they should go with the most qualified and the most able to do the job. In other words, again, being a little more flexible and not locking ourselves into a situation where you have two NOMCOM appointees that may not be able to perform the duty efficiently. And so we've locked ourselves into a bad situation.
Chuck, that's a good point, and I hear you, and I note that Donna's agreed with you. However, and Alan as well, let me just, so it seems just to capture this, is that the chairperson we believe is required. We believe it's appropriate that they are elected by the board. We seem to agree that they should not be the PTI manager. And then really this question is where do we get them from? Now, currently, those that are not the NOMCOM appointees are obviously ICANN employees or are most likely the ICANN employees, including the PTI manager. I suppose this was put in from a kind of corporate governance point of view. Ideally, if you want any kind of independence to your board, you want your board to have a form of independence chair. So I hear you that we could tie ourselves in, but how do we express perhaps even a preference without making it a hard preference? You know, for example, we could say chairperson, do we say ideally or must be if one of them is willing and able? How do we handle the fact that from a sort of corporate governance point of view and from just from the logic of the of trying to create a degree of independence without making the PTI fully independent, how do we handle that? And if anyone's got any thoughts about how we do that other than this very hard thing which says it must be one in a NomCom, noting that, you know, Chuck, Alan and Donna all seem to think we should not make it so, such a hard line. How do we walk that line, I wonder? Yeah, something like that. Chuck suggests in the chat that an independent chair is preferred if possible. When the independence, I mean, they are by definition NomCom appointees. Their independence is that they are not ICANN employees. That's the definition of independence in this context. So it's not fully independent in the kind of the traditional sense. Here, NomCom and independent are interchangeable. Yeah. NomCom chair. Yeah, these are NomCom. What I think we mean, Grace, is not non-ICANN staff. It's NomCom appointed director is preferred. NomCom appointed director chair is preferred if possible. Please disagree with me if I'm getting that wrong. Noting your point on time, Alan, we will try and make sure everyone gets their comments in or have another session. It's important to get people's points on these critical issues. Alan.
On boards that I've sat on, you often want the chair to be someone who actually knows something and has some experience. The NomCom appointees, almost by definition, may not. So independence is fine, but competence is important.
Thanks, Alan. Except that there's been a whole lot of other criteria set about the qualifications that these person or persons must have. So they will, by those definitions, they should be not becoming simply the qualification of independence to the extent that independence is the point here is not a key criterion. It's much, there are other qualifications. They are simply independent by virtue of not being ICANN staff. But I agree with you, and we do need to make that point clear and make sure it comes across properly in our documentation that what we don't want is people who don't have the appropriate knowledge or experience coming in. I mean, independence is not the key criterion here. It's as Paul has said, as you have said, Alan, that seems to be a key point. Is that a new hand then, Alan, or a response?
No, that's a new hand. I'll simply point out without any implication or without any judgment here, NomComs come and go, and NomComs sometimes exercise good judgment and sometimes don't. You can't presume it. You can hope for it.
Okay. Well, it looks like what we do need to do then, Grace, and I'm not sure where this goes in the document. Perhaps you can put this in the notes, but that the as a kind of overarching point, the qualifications and criteria need to emphasize relevant experience for these NomCom appointed PTI directors. Paul asks in the chat, is the NomCom the correct selection method? That's a very good question. What we set up in, and that goes back to the CWG proposal, what we said in the PTI proposal was that an appropriate mechanism, I don't know the exact words, but paraphrasing it, was an appropriate mechanism such as the NOMCOM or equivalent. So, that's the position there. And Chuck makes a good point. I mean, it may be impractical for us to all of this on the call. So to the extent that there is additional information, we really do need to bring this up in the Google document and try and synthesize it that way, because this is a relatively short call to deal with this level of detail. Yeah, and Alan notes that one of the key points was not a whole new parallel process for appointment. Alan, go ahead if you have another point to make by virtue of your hand being up.
I think there's merit in using the NOMCOM mechanism, but whether the NOMCOM is the deciding party or whether the NOMCOM is the filter process might be another way. So you just go to the NOMCOM comes up with a shortlist, and then the council, respective councils from the ICANN supporting organizations and other communities involved in PTI, then effectively select. I don't know how the beauty contest works. I don't know anything about the NOMCOM, but it's abundantly clear it may not be the appropriate process. But as Alan says, we don't want to be starting a parallel, another process for selection. It should be very straightforward. We're all selected by our respective communities through an open process. Maybe it's something along those lines. I don't know, but the NOMCOM does seem to be fraught with issues. Thanks.
Well, it may be that, as others have pointed out in the chat, we did go through this previously, and in essence, we ended up agreeing to this NOMCOM point. And it may be that the way to handle the concerns is, rather than throw out the NOMCOM, is make sure that the specifications are clear, because the NOMCOM will work with what the NOMCOM is given. And notwithstanding people's concerns about the NOMCOM, maybe if we can, so I think that's certainly that point which I made to Grace earlier to note, is to make sure we note carefully, making sure that we cover that. And thanks for your support there, Chuck. Just to let you know, the document is no longer being shared at this stage.
Apologies on that, Jonathan. We're going to switch computers because Yuko's computer seems to be acting up. So we'll reload it momentarily.
All right, let's move then on beyond the election of the chairperson, section 5.4, please, Grace. Or Yuko, whoever's driving that screen share. So here we look at the next point here, which is terms and election of successors. And this section 5.5 deals with the director terms. And there's some detail in here. The original spec suggested a one-year term, and Lisa applied that to consider a 2 or even a 3-year term, and we were not that firm on this when we struggled a little bit. I think both of us have experience of being on boards where a year is a little too short to get up to speed and effective, yet both of us were concerned about entrenching people too much. And also, the multi-term gives the opportunity to alternate. And then the thinking there was that one interim director may need to serve for more than 1 year and accommodate that. And then having looked at it logically, it doesn't seem that why one, why not both if they both are appropriately suitable. So we didn't want to preclude it just on the basis of, so that's where that point came from, on the basis of just being, it's possible they could be, and then the independent, and then we both felt that regardless of whether they were 2 or 3 year terms, there should be 3 or 2 consecutive term limits, i.e. keeping people to 6 years in total. So try to put some both experience and corporate governance knowledge in place to draft those answers. Chuck, go ahead with your thoughts or responses.
Yeah, I thought I would just share my comments that I entered in the Google Doc verbally, because I know it's hard for people to read those. So basically what I said was that, yeah, I agree with the general intent that both you and Lisa have here. I also think 1 year terms are too short. There's too frequent turnover, and also that you could have total turnover, you know, at one time. So I think maybe the 3 year or 3 term limits may be a little too much until we get a little more experience. So I'd kind of go middle of the road and say 2 year terms with a maximum of 2 consecutive terms until we get a better handle on how this is going to go. That's just my own personal thoughts.
Thanks, Chuck. Just to come back to you on that one. So the way it was structured here was if it was a 2 year appointment, no more than 3 consecutive terms, and if it was a 3 year appointment, no more than 2. Do you feel that even if it's a 2 year appointment, it should be no more than 2 consecutive terms? In other words, 4 year total. And if so, how do we capture that?
Yeah, we can capture it. That's probably no problem, but I think that when you're talking about only, with such a small board, I think locking ourselves into 6 years is maybe a little too much at this stage. But again, I could be wrong on that. That's just my own personal thinking. So I was thinking whether it's a 2 or 3 year term, only 2 consecutive terms. And I would favor the 2 year terms with no more than 2 consecutive terms. But that, again, I'll go with the group on it. It's not a huge issue. That's just my own personal thoughts.
Okay, Chuck, thanks. So at the moment, absent any other suggestions, we're looking at 2 year terms, and we want input as to what the maximum. Bear in mind, this isn't saying we keep our directors for 6 years. It's saying that's the absolute limit we will keep them for. So it'll be very good to get others' input, and I'd encourage you all to provide these inputs via comments on the Google Doc. I think that could be very helpful. So think about it. Think about your own experience, the points that Chuck's made, and come back to the group as with thoughts. Let me go back to 5.4 because it appears we might have missed something there. So great, if you could scroll, or Yuko, who's controlling this, if you could take me back to 5.4, which we seem to have maybe gone over a point there. Did we leave a? So here the point was whether the president, who we assume will be the PTI manager. So this is the point. The assumption is that the president of the PTI will be the PTI manager. Now, my thought on this is that seems reasonable assumption. That I think Lisa and I discussed this, and we were okay with that. So I guess the question there is, this, like any other, is effectively asserted by this document in our responses to Sydney's queries. If you're not happy or uncomfortable with it, please let us know, and I can see there's a little bit of diversity of thinking on the 2 years, 3 years, two terms thing. So we will need to come back thinking about that carefully, thinking about what you've heard others say, and trying to come to a view that we can take back to the CWG with. Okay, Yuko, if we then move on beyond 5.4 down to the next section. So we've dealt with 5.5, at least initially, and we're on to 5.5.3. So here it is, the provision is that the NomCom stroke independent director should not have been an ICANN employee for 3 years prior to this. And Lisa and I have suggested that this actually it's not just an ICANN employee, because many people who work for ICANN are employed as consultants. So we felt that the restriction on the NomCom appointed director should be restricted to employees and anyone who's been paid for their services to ICANN, the corporation. Now, the only question then, if assuming you agree with that, is 3 years the right term? But any comments or points on that? Could be, but again, if you want to input these clearly, you can do so in the live, you can edit the document online outside of this call. Now, okay, and I see there's some. And under removal, section 5.5.2, the board has the ability to remove the directors for missing a required number of meetings. So if at the time the director is elected, the question is to the CWG was, is this a reasonable inclusion? And also, if it is the case, is member approval required? And it's struck Lisa and I in reviewing this that actually it was reasonable that the board should be able to remove a director who wasn't performing by attending the required number of meetings, but actually that there would need to be some additional check on that, and actually requiring the approval of the member for that made sense. And so we essentially accepted that point. Thanks, Alan. I note you're okay with 5.5.3. And no, Paul, this is an important point, actually. It's a good point. Paul asked, is there an auto kick? In fact, it's not that. I think because if you think about it, it's just possible that there may be some reasonable grounds, and you wouldn't want to, it's like any provision. Do you trigger it simply because somebody's accidentally or otherwise or through personal circumstance or any other reason? They may have missed three meetings, which might have, but you've got very good reason to know that that was a one-off set of three meetings that won't recur again. So we, I think, felt that rather than make it a hard auto-kick-out, we give the board the right to do so. And I would think a reasonable board would act under those circumstances if they had the right to do so. It essentially says to the board, please do so unless you have other reasons not to. So I guess that was the thinking there. Now, it's 10 minutes to the top of the hour. Please raise your hand if you have another comment or point, but I'm just a little concerned about the rest of the agenda, if there's anything critical apart from this that needs to be got through. So I'm going to defer to Trang for a moment and say, Trang, is there anything that we need to go through? And if so, do we need 10 minutes now? Do we stop working on the document and deal with it?
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Yes, I would like to get around to reviewing the work plan with the group if we can. Obviously, that sets out the timing for and the process for finalizing all of the PTI documents, which, some of the dates that are proposed in the work plans are very fast approaching, so I'd like to be able to review that with the group sooner rather than later. It also seems that even with the 10 minutes left, we may not be able to make it through this document, so it may warrant a discussion on how we want to continue this discussion. One thing to consider is that when we formed the IOTF, we had talked about potentially having at least two meetings a week or as many as necessary in order to get whatever work in front of us done. So one consideration could be whether or not we schedule another call to go through the rest of the document, maybe a Monday or Tuesday of this of next week. I know we have a call already scheduled for Wednesday of next week, so maybe another call scheduled for Monday to go through the rest of the document, if that makes sense. So I want to throw that out for consideration.
Yes, thanks, Trang. My main concern is providing the rationalization for the answers they are at the moment, because we've clearly got independent thinking people who are able to make their contributions. And personally, I'd have no problem, but I see Chuck certainly will have. So perhaps just a couple of quick comments then on the rationalization, and then hand over to you to deal with the other points, just so that the others have at least got a sense of what the rationalization. So Yuko, if fast, I need to see the other parts of this document to just give people a little bit of comment on it. So if you could provide me with, I think that's self-evident, the removal, the quorum is, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Next, please. Chuck, go ahead.
Yeah, just very quickly, and we can take care of this later, Jonathan, but in several cases where we required a 4 out of 5 vote, you and Lisa suggested that both NOMCOM appointees should vote in support, and I ask why in every case. There may be a good reason. I just couldn't think of it. We don't have to cover that now. We don't have time now. But if between now and the next time we meet, you could provide a rationale for that, that would be good.
I'm happy to do so, and maybe a written rationale would be the best way to do it. All right. So, Yuko, you're right, Chuck. That occurs on a number of occasions, and I have not had the chance to process your comments prior to this. So let's see if we can deal with that. Okay, Yuko, if you could just keep us going then, please, with the rest. Those are all similar in that way. And then fees and compensation. Okay, so clearly this is one I should speak on. Clearly, Lisa and I, as potential interim directors, we were clear on reasonable expenses. We're clear that ICANN directors should not be undertaken, and we did not feel it was appropriate for us to assert whether they should or should not be compensated. Even though both of us probably had a view on this, we didn't feel it was appropriate to comment, and that's why it's specifically highlighted in that way, I expect. Keep going, please, Yuko. I just want to see if there's any other key comments that are worth making. 6-3, 6-6. Seven, one, keep going. Keep going. 9-2, keep going. Yeah, so okay, so that covers, I think, you know, whilst I haven't commented on all of them, I hope that most of them will be self-evident and the rationale for why. But I'm very happy to be challenged on any point and to discuss it on email as to why those were the case. Alan.
Jonathan, it's Alan. A quick one on compensation. We have no clue at this point what kind of workload this board is going to be doing, other than having to pass a budget, or if there's a crisis, it may have to take some action. It may be close to inactive. I don't think it would be appropriate for us to say they're compensated at this point. If the world evolves to the sense point where it's reasonable to compensate them, that should be a decision at that point. Thank you.
Alan, thanks. And I think Chuck seems to agree with you. So then the point we should be aware of, though, in that context is we may want to not lock out that possibility. We may not want to we may want to provide for that possibility to think about. And Paul also highlights that he does not think they should be compensated as a community role. Oh, there's some views there that we can take on board and incorporate, including Sam Eisner's comments. Okay, so Grace, Trang, I think I should hand back to you to try and perhaps run over by 5 minutes or so and cover what you urgently need to. So let me hand back to you.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. So we had circulated briefly before the call a proposed work plan to get through what we consider to be two tracks of work around the PTI, the first track being all of the PTI formation documents, which includes the bylaws and the articles of incorporation and the conflict of interest policy, and then the second track of work being all of the various contracts. We don't have much time, so I would encourage you to review the materials that we circulated as well as the notes that we included with the proposed work plans. Essentially, we see two open issues that could potentially impact this work plan, one being a previously expressed concern around the interdependencies between the PTI bylaws and the various contracts, and then the other open item being the note from Sidley regarding combining the naming functions contract with the intercompany services agreement. And we provided our thinking in the email that we circulated to you in terms of our thinking around that, which is the basis for us proposing this current work plan that you see here. What we'd like to do is get agreement with this group and also with the CWG, you know, on this work plan, because then I think it would provide a lot of clarity to everyone that's involved in terms of when documents would be available for review, and clarity around when the public comment process would be, you know, all of that. And you guys provided a couple of different views of the proposed work plan. One is a timeline type of view, and then the other is just you know, with an Excel document that just lists the various activities and dates in a vertical type of format. And the information is exactly the same. It's just a different way of presenting the information. Some people like to look at graphics, and some just like to look at a document. So we provided both. Other than since we don't have much time, you know, I want to kind of run through maybe the process real quick with you. One of the main things to keep in mind is that we do look at these as two sets of documents, and so we do anticipate that all of the PTI formation documents, which includes the bylaws, articles of incorporation, and PTI conflict of interest policy, to start public comment at the same time and to follow, you know, all of the subsequent processes on the same timeline. What we are proposing is that we would circulate the PTI conflict of interest policy by tomorrow. We recognize that that's a document that has not been reviewed by Sidley or the IOTF or the CWG. However, it is based on the ICANN conflict of interest policy, and we don't anticipate that we would receive too many issues or comments on that. But you can see here what we propose to be the timing around the conflict of interest policy, so that it in turn syncs up with the work plan for the PTI bylaws and articles of incorporation. And then at the bottom of the graph is are all of the various contracts. And we anticipate that the naming functions contract and subcontracting agreements would proceed, you know, on a different timeline than the intercompany services agreement, which is more or less an operational type of arrangement between ICANN and PTI, which at this point we don't foresee going through a public comment process. It would certainly be shared with this group and with the CWG during discussions, with potentially some of the details around employment that may not be appropriate to share redacted. You know, we don't anticipate opening that up for a public comment period, whereas the naming functions contract and subcontracting agreements would. So again, the proposed timeline is on here. I do note in the chat room that Paul Kane asked about finalizing the SLEs. Yes, Paul, this it is not specifically called out on this timeline. We will be producing a different timeline for that. What has been agreed to in Marrakesh is that we would produce a proposed set of performance targets in the early to mid part of July, and then that would then, once it's agreed to, would then be inserted into the naming functions contract, and hopefully be able to do that by August 1st so that we can start public comment with the naming functions contract, which would include the performance targets. So I will stop there and see if there are any questions or comments. I recognize that we haven't spent a lot of time on this, but any sort of initial reaction to the proposal of a work plan or anything that we've laid out here? Alisa, please go ahead.
Thanks, Trang. Just one question to get your perspective on. I was under the impression that all of the work of the implementation was sort of targeted towards being done in the middle of August because there is a either 30 or 45 day notice period when ICANN and NTIA have to give each other notice of whether the contract will be extended, and this shows that the naming function contract and the subcontracting agreements would still be out for public comment at that time. So I'm just curious if you have some background there, some kind of rationalization or, you know, a way that you expect this to move forward, given that if there is some kind of target in the middle of August that, you know, that will just explain that things are still out for public comment, or, you know, how that might impact the ultimate timeline for the contract expiry. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alisa, for that question. So NTIA's requirement isn't necessarily that we would have all implementation activities completed by August 15th. I think what they expect to see is a report of what has been accomplished by August 15th and what else needs to be done. And then for those items that need to be done, how much additional time do we need to get them done? That's essentially is sort of the status type of report that they want on August 15. We have not shared this timeline with the NTIA, and we will be just to get their thoughts and thinking on this. From our perspective, I think the incorporation of PTI would be a main key item that we would want to accomplish and have that take place by August 15th, which is why you see on the timeline here that process finishing, we anticipate finishing on August 10th there. And I think the contracts themselves being out for public comment, you know, I think the critical point there is that it would have gone through a comment process with the CWG and IOTF, and we would have incorporated, you know, those comments into the version that would be posted for public comment. So essentially, you know, the rest of the process is an important one that we have to complete. But I think there should be enough confidence in the work by the time that those documents are published for public comment, you know, to have comfort that that the whole process can be finalized by September 30th. But again, you know, we would definitely run this past NTIA once we get agreement with the community on the timing and the work plan to make sure that they are also comfortable with this.
Great, thank you.
Thanks, Alisa. And Alan, I note your comment in the chat with regards to the rationale document for PTI staffing. We apologize for the delay on this. We actually do have a document ready to be released to you actually earlier this week. You know, due to the current IANA functions contract that we have with NTIA, there are certain coordinations that we need to do with them. And unfortunately, you know, that coordination is taking a little bit longer than usual just because they have been understandably very busy and focused on trying to get their report finalized and published, which they did this morning. So apologies for not being able to get that out sooner, now that they have released their report, we're hopeful that we'll be able to very quickly also share with you that document. But we do have it, and it's ready to be shared. We just need to do a one coordination piece. Uh, Chuck, so with regards to your question, not necessarily with the contents of the document itself, it's just part of the process. Okay, any other final words? My apologies for going a little bit over the allotted time. Maybe as next steps on both documents, certainly for this work plan, we will look to have any of your feedback, please, via the mail list. And then Jonathan and Lisa will ping you offline and get your thoughts on how we may want to move forward with this in terms of potentially sharing it and getting buy-in from Sidley as well as the CWG on the work plan moving forward. Jonathan, please go ahead.
Thanks, Chang. It does look like we may need a more intense than the once per week, and we'll have to see with the meeting coming up. And just to highlight Chuck's point, he's just questioning what, you know, this rationale document, why does that need, how does that have to be linked to NTIA? So it'd be just helpful if you could explain how that process works.
Right. So as you know, we are currently under contract with NTIA, the NAV functions contract. So any implementation activities that could potentially impact that contract, there's a coordination point from a process perspective that we do with NTIA. So it's really just typically it's a very quick check-in. But unfortunately, like I mentioned, because of the timing on NTIA side, it's just taking a little bit longer than usual. So it's really just a process point. All right. So, anything else? I'm very conscious of the amount of time that we've gone over here. So, any last comments from anyone before we close? I saw a comment in the chat room with regards to scheduling for call number 13. That some folks are not yet traveling until the later part of that week. So, maybe we can go ahead and do a doodle poll to see if it makes sense to hold a call the early part of that week. Okay. And then the decision log is not an urgent item, so we can pick that up on the next call. Now, last question is, would it make sense to try to schedule another call for this group Monday of next week?
Depends on the time.
Okay. Well, if there's no objections to doing that, let's go ahead and start a doodle poll and see if we can do another call for Monday of next week. All right, any last items before we go ahead and close? All right, well, thank you very much, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Please stop the recording.
Thanks.